Good morning, beloved. Well, in the 1970s, there was a sociologist by the name Mark Grenevetter who coined the phrases weak ties and strong ties. Weak ties are interactions with people that you are not necessarily close to. So think of things like the people that you see briefly or interact with in less significant ways, like the barista who took your order, or the person opposite you on the bus, or someone working out on the machine next to you at the gym, just people that you interact with, but in very insignificant ways. These are weak ties. Strong ties, on the other hand, are significant interactions with people that are close to you. These are your friends. These are your family. And so strong ties and weak ties, they impact us. What was crazy is as they started to study the impact of strong ties and weak ties in our daily interactions, what they found was that strong ties affected us really at the same level or less as weak ties. And that's pretty crazy. You would think the things that would bring us greater happiness, fulfillment, and joy would be those strong ties, that the interactions with family and friends, the significant deep conversations, the wrestling through questions together, all those things. And yet what they found was, if you truly wanted to be happier, they watched as people who had embraced the weak ties with a smile, eye contact, a simple nod, a handshake, a greeting of, hey, how are you? Anything like that, in those simple, small, weak tie interactions, that actually made you happier throughout the day. The point is, they are ties. That word choice is profound. A strong tie and a weak tie both imply that everyone we come in contact with, everyone around us, we are actually tied to in some way, whether it is in a significant way or an insignificant way. But even as we look at the insignificant ways, it's actually more significant than we think. We affect each other more than we think. And so as we consider our interactions, the way that we affect others, what should be our greatest aim in relating to everyone that we encounter? As you encounter people all around you and know that you actually have an impact on them and they have an impact on you, what do you want them to take away from your encounter with them? Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, as we're going to close out Mark chapter 16 today with Mission Sunday. We're going to look at Mark chapter 16, verse 8. We actually read this last week and Easter Sunday, but today, looking just at verse 8, I want to remind you what brings us to this point, that Jesus has been crucified. He has died a substitutionary atoning death on our behalf, taking our sins on himself, giving us his righteousness. He has died, but then he is raised on the third day, Sunday morning. He is raised back to life. He is alive. The tomb is empty, but you had these ladies who were witnesses of his crucifixion coming to anoint his body. The Sabbath is over. Daylight has come. It's Sunday morning, and here they come to a tomb wondering, how in the world are we even going to get in? We can't even roll away the stone. They get there. The stone's already rolled away. They go inside the tomb, and there's an angel who says, I know who you're looking for. Jesus of Nazareth, he's not here. He has risen. Just like he said, he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. So you'll meet him there. Hey, by the way, go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going to meet you there. And what happens in verse 8? They went out and ran from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them. And they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. Do you hear that last sentence? They said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. And so here's the thing. Mark's gospel, most scholars at this point believe, likely ended at that point originally. That at verse 8, it ended. And then the discomfort that was felt with it being so unresolved led the early church to add some other things, and over time, and so it's contested. Does Mark's gospel end with verse 8, or does it continue going? I personally, this does not make or break any of our faith. This should not lead you to a crisis of faith, but I would say I tend to favor that it ended at verse 8. And here's the thing. If verse 1, the very first verse out of the gate for Mark's entire gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, We've said this repeatedly, that is the only place in the entire gospel where Mark as the narrator says, this is who I believe he is. So ID Jesus, identify him. Who is this man? The only place Mark says what he believes about him is the opening to his entire gospel. He starts with that, like, this is my claim. And then he tells you, listen to all these stories. Hear about all the things Jesus taught, what he did, what he said. his death, his resurrection, and then you get to verse 8, and it's like, you've brought it to this crazy moment of he has died, this is awful, and he's alive. Wait, what? There's confusion, there's what? And the angel says, now go tell the other disciples and Peter, and the ladies, they leave overwhelmed, and they say nothing to anyone. And you imagine, that's the last thing. What would it be like for Mark to sit down across from you and be like, I wrote this, you've got to hear this. And he starts off, opening line, this is what I believe about Jesus. Now hear everything I'm about to say. And then he brings you through that whole story and he brings you to this moment. And then he takes it and he closes it up and he looks up at you and says, what do you think? It's like that's how he ends it. On such this dissonance, this confusion of like, wait, what? This is crazy. So as to force the reader to say, who do you say he is? What do you believe about all of this? Do you believe he really is the Christ? That he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the returning king? That he is the Son of God? This is God in human flesh. It's crazy. He ends so abruptly, leaving you pondering everything you just heard. Now you have to decide who you say Jesus is. But he also ends it abruptly with the first disciples to hear of Jesus' resurrection and being told, hey, yeah, he's resurrected. This confirms everything about what he said he was going to do, who he is. Now go tell the disciples and Peter, and what do? They're silent. They go and tell no one, at least in this moment. That leaves us with yet another attention. And here's the thing. We know this gospel. We have this gospel, and we know the story, and there are thousands and countless of Christians who know that that is not how it ended. They did not stay in that place of not telling anyone. Clearly, we know this story. And so what changed? What changed to where they went from overwhelmed, not fulfilling this mission that this angel gave them, to ultimately fulfilling a mission that Jesus would give us? And that mission is what we commonly call the Great Commission. This is the way that it's recorded in Matthew's gospel in chapter 28. It says, Jesus came near to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Our mission. So get this. These ladies overwhelmed. An angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter about this resurrection. This good news that he's alive, and they're overwhelmed and they don't. But then something happens. Jesus starts to show up over and over, and he brings them back together. He lets Thomas touch. He's like, hey, put your fingers here in this pierced side, these pierced hands. See that I'm really eating breakfast with them. He's showing up, and then just before he ascends back in the clouds, he says, here's the mission, guys. Go tell the whole world this good news. Make disciples of every nation. Let them all know this good news. Teach them to obey everything that I've taught you. And here's the thing, I'm with you always, even to the end. Our job, our mission is to take this gospel, this good news that Jesus died and he is alive and that is our salvation, that he has saved us because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That if we would confess our sin and we would confess him to be Lord and we would believe in our hearts that he died and he was raised from the dead and he is the Lord, then our salvation is secured by God himself. That is good news, that by grace through faith we are saved. And now everyone in this planet needs to know this hope that we have. And our mission is to tell them, that's what this is all about, guys. We want this whole world to know this gospel so that this whole world would resound with worship to the one God, that God's glory would cover this world. That's the mission we have been given. I have to be careful. I need to be quick. I had named this church Beloved Church because of my affinity for the Apostle John, and I am so convinced that we at our core must know that we are loved by God. That is the essence of the gospel. My fear is that it feels so feminine because we have wrongfully taken love and made it something so feminine in this culture. And this is not a knock on ladies. This is to say, guys, we have abdicated our responsibility in upholding what real love actually is. Guys, there is a mission that will likely cost you your life. Step into the mission. Press on in the mission. Our King has given us a mission, so let's accomplish it. The mission. our greatest aim? Strong ties, weak ties, everyone you encounter, what is it that you hope that they get from your interaction with them? Our King says, let it be the gospel. Let it be good news. Make much of Jesus. Make sure they know that there is a God who offers salvation. But here's the thing. I can tell you until I'm blue in the face that this is the mission. We need to tell people about the gospel. We need to make sure the whole world knows who Jesus is, what he has done. You're not going to do that until you fall deeply in love with him. As Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. This is the command, the mission. Tell the world. We will not do that unless we have a great, growing love for him. The more you love him, the more you will naturally speak of him, the more passionately you will speak of him. And so I want you, more than anything, to see how loved you are, because our love for him is just a response to his love for us. You must know this loving God. You must be enamored with a God who loves you so much that he died for you. What love is this? God becomes a man, dies for us, is raised back to life, and he wants us because he loves us. And that's why our church's mission statement, yes, the whole church throughout all time and across all places, Jesus has given us a commission. This is our command. This is the mission, to tell the world this gospel. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey Jesus and everything he has taught us. But the language we use to just help us to see, what does that look like for us? It's loving our Lord, loving each other, and loving our neighbor. Because we will only obey this mission out of love for him. We must love him. And then if we love him, we will love each other, and then it will overflow horizontally, and we will love our neighbors. We must be about this mission. And so today, I would like to invite Will up, who is leading the charge on Mission Sunday, because we have members of our missions team that are going to come up and talk through. These are very practical, on-the-ground ways that we are trying to accomplish this mission so that everyone would know that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's offering us everlasting life. There's salvation found in no other name. And so we have partners around the globe. We have partners here in our own neighborhood. And today you're going to hear about many of them. You'll hear some updates. You'll hear some opportunities for how you can step into that. And after the gathering, there will be a tent outside with some tables and missions team members will be out there so that you can connect further with our partners and you can sign up and step into other opportunities that we have. So Will, welcome to the stage.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. I'm so grateful to be part of this team of passionate people with compassion for the needy and a heart for saving the lost. And we have some really exciting opportunities for you guys to get more involved because everyone can pray. And you're going to love that in a lot of these testimonies, you know, you come and you're like, oh, maybe they want my money. Maybe they want this. Maybe they want that. I'm already busy. I'm already stressed. These people crave your prayers because we serve an amazing God who is at work. And we are lucky. We are blessed to be a part of what he's doing. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Mike to come up and share with you about some missionaries in Uganda that we support, the Sekamaleras.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning. I'm excited this morning to bring you a brief report about a church plant that we've had the opportunity to be a part of for a number of years, and it's in Uganda, Kampala, Uganda, and the name of the church is Cross Fellowship Church, and I just want to give you, again, a really brief report about what God's doing there. So by his amazing grace, Pastor Derek Sekamalera is leading a church there that's thriving and is just moving the gospel forward incredibly, and they're growing in spite of being in an urban environment, a very populous city where it's full of false religion and actually perversions of the gospel that they face daily. But by the work there, God's allowed us to be a part of that, and I'm excited for that, and I just want to let you know that the work that we've done through the last few years of praying and financially supporting that work, God has blessed it. And I think that's incredible that as young as this church is, we've been part of something that's happening that God's doing on the other side of the world. Amen. Amen. All right. So in further news, Derek and his wife, Ray, are actually planning to come visit with us in just a little while. In May, they'll be coming here. Ray is expecting their second child, and so they're going to come here to the States to have that baby. And while they're there, Derek will be doing some deposition work. And I believe that he's going to be with us here at Beloved in the, on the second week of Sunday week of June. And so we're excited to see him and be much in prayer for that, and that the baby will be born safely and their travels will be great. And so we're looking forward to that. Also, I just want to share with you briefly, and there's a lot more outside I'd like to tell you about, but for time's sake, I need to wrap it up. We're actually considering the possibility. Derek mentioned that they're going to be doing an event in September, and possibly we could put together a team and be a part of a work there. So we're looking at the idea of sending a team from Beloved to Uganda to be a part of an outreach that they'll be doing there. So I just want to make you aware of that. We've got an interest sheet outside that we'd love for you to sign up. Just come see me afterwards. I'll tell you everything I know about it. It's very exciting stuff. So without further ado, as I said, the gospel's moving forward, and as a result of God's amazing grace and the work being done there by the Cross Fellowship Church in Uganda, I just want you to watch this video of a testimony of a young man that was recently brought to faith through the preaching of the gospel there.
Sweet. Hello, everyone. My name is Patrick Okello. I'm a hotelier, and I work with Zara Garden Hotel and Apartments in Muyinga. I've been meeting Pastor Derek for about 3 months now, around the month of November. And he's introduced me to the true gospel, Jesus Christ. And the very first time I met him, he had talked about what true salvation means, what it means to be born again. I put it to understand that being born again is truly just deciding to let all the world behind and decide to follow Jesus truthfully and faithfully. He told me that being born again doesn't mean being perfect. Like, you don't have to be a sinner for you to be born again. But I've done up to since, but they've told me that being a born again is just about putting everything behind else and deciding to believe in Jesus. The first thing to being born again, decided to say Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. And that's what this taught me. I've been struggling spiritually, especially when it comes to the aspect of becoming a true Christian and a true born again. And the point I am in now, I can boldly say, I'm a true son of Jesus Christ, and I've decided to follow Jesus Christ. I would also like to encourage every other young man and lady outside there who's struggling spiritually, that you don't have to be perfect for you to follow Jesus. It takes just one step, and that is accepting that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to stop sinning for you to do it, because you will never stop sinning. But Jesus calls us to him, that he is our Lord. He's willing to carry that yoke together with you till your last day on earth. He has also taught me that as you go in faith and go in understanding the word, nothing becomes hard for you to leave sin. When you decide to become for God, you would start to love the things that God does. So if you want to be perfect like him, decide to walk with him. Thank you so much.
Next, I have my dear friend, Karen, sharing on behalf of Dorcas Way.
Good morning. Thank you for listening this morning. I have been working with Dorcas White Community Outreach, and we operate a food pantry in Mascot that serves the Lake and Sumter County communities. Every Friday, we offer food to families in need with the love of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, just being able to touch their life in a small way that can give them a little bit of hope and encouragement and free up some financial margin to go to other places. This week on Friday, this past Friday, I had the opportunity to meet Keith for the first time. He just started coming to the pantry, and he shared with me that he is working full-time. He has a good job. He's got two small children, and he's finding himself in need for the very first time. And he just expressed what a difficult situation this was for him, how vulnerable it was for him. He never imagined that he would be coming to a food pantry to receive food. But here he is. And yet the beauty of this is that the Lord through his own personal need, is opening his eyes to see the need of others around him. And he wants really badly to be able to come over and help us than to be able to serve other people. Along with serving food and offering food to families in need, we also try to meet other needs as we can. So also this Friday, we were gifted with a few bikes that we were able to pass on to a couple of our homeless friends, which really enables them to move around and get to places to try and find jobs and get to work on time and miscellaneous things. We offered this week also, along with food, a young lady needed some money for tuition to be able to go through some training to get to the next step of her job where she'd be paid a little bit more and to be able to have a more sustainable life. The pantry is such a gift, not just to the community, but to those who volunteer there. For me, I really have been thanking the Lord for just the proximity that I have with people experiencing different levels of poverty and also peoples of different culture. I feel like the Lord is really using this to expose and to confront me and to challenge my attachments to wealth and possessions, to comfort, and to reputation. And at the same time, as Keith experienced his need, I feel like it shows me my need, and it's really opening my eyes in a bigger way to see the needs around me. I've been praying that God would help me to follow the way of Jesus as I volunteer, just in having a life of openness and generosity and deeper compassion. So, like Will suggested, I really first and foremost just want to ask for your continued prayers for us, that the Lord would continue to provide the resources so that we can keep pouring out to the communities that we serve. And we would love for you to get involved. Many of you have already been involved in different and a variety of ways, and we're so grateful. As we move forward, we have been informed by the different food banks that we receive food from that there will be greater restrictions, that the limitations are really being felt already. We're not receiving quite as much as we did when we started. So what that looks like is just a plea to consider if you have it in your heart to maybe do a food drive for us in the future in your place of business or in your small group or your own community or neighborhood. We would just greatly appreciate those tangible gifts of food. And there is one that is coming into place soon, so please keep your eyes and your ears open for more information about that. The youth group is going to be doing a food drive for us and doing some special things as we think about an event coming up in July. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Karen. And I have Rye sharing on behalf of another mission partner of ours in Kenya.
Hi, church. I call you the church because I want to spend just a little bit of time before we share a video from Steve and Sharon Entwistle as to how we as this local body work together with them in Nairobi. Our Bible study group had the joy and the privilege of spending about a year and a half with Steve and Sharon while they were here in Claremont. And we were able to go through many books of the Bible together and just enjoy fellowship with them. And so we decided to take on what we're calling the Barnabas Project. Now, Barnabas was a contemporary of Paul, and his name actually means son of encouragement. Our Bible study group has become people of encouragement to the Entwistles. And along with our group, we were able to help them produce this video with the media team of this church. So we're all working together. We're doing the one another's of Scripture. And so I want you to enjoy this video as they speak to you about their ministry in Nairobi. One last thing, about a month and a half after they left for Nairobi, Sharon had a birthday. She received 11 individual birthday wishes and cards, and it was there right at her birthday, knowing that she was remembered and not forgotten. We share prayer requests every couple of weeks in our group. They're on our prayer list. They receive that in Kenya, and they share their prayer needs with us. We are connected, and we want everyone here to be connected as well with the mission team. Thank you.
Jambo sana.
Habari zenu. That is in Swahili in Kenya for to say hello and how are you? We're Steve and Sharon Entwistle.
We're so excited. We've been here about 2.5 months now here in Nairobi, Kenya, and we've recently moved into a house that we found to rent. We're so grateful. We've thoroughly enjoyed stepping into this role called ABO, Africa-Based Orientation. Our job is to orientate new mission workers as they arrive to start the journey that God has been calling them into. We do orientation concerning culture and health and living within teams and working with other missionaries from urban cultures. ABO is a large program that takes lots of organization and planning.
Yeah, and we're also excited about a couple of other ministries on top of that. First of all, we're excited about this house and how we might be used by the Lord to receive missionary workers as they come through, as well as Kenyan friends. We've already had a lot of people over for meals and overnights, and we see that as really an extension of our ministry here in Kenya. And on top of that, I'm still in the praying process, but really seeking the Lord to see what He might have for me working amongst the Nubian people group who live in the slums of Nairobi. They're actually a people group that came out of the Nuba Mountains of Sudan, and now they've set up here in Kenya. They've been here for almost a century now, and I've been looking for ways to reach out to them, to get to know them, to share the love of Jesus with these people. I've already been in the slums a few times, and I've already started forming some relationships. So we're excited about what God is doing here, and we sure covet your prayers, and we love our church back in the States. Thank you guys so much for caring about us and for supporting us through prayer and through your love. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. I'm excited to share with you guys on behalf of another ministry in a third world country that's going through a really extraordinary time. In case you don't know, Myanmar was hit by a devastating 7.7 magnitude earthquake almost a month ago, and there's been 140 aftershocks since then, some as high as 5.9. The earthquakes killed over 3,700 people, injured 4,800 more, and there's countless left missing still. One of our missions partners is Mission Myanmar, an evangelistic ministry with a network of children's homes to care for street kids and community outreach programs. In the wake of this crisis, here's a recent update from Judah. Last night at 9:50 p.m., we were about to go to bed on the second floor of the building where we stay. The earthquake came back again, and we were so scared and rushed outside. The highway is very bumpy now, especially all the edges of the bridges. The dirt connected to the bridges was rolled up and down. It's horrifying. People are scared and do not dare to sleep in the remaining buildings. They sleep in tents. The earthquake occurred at daytime, but if it occurred at night, the dead would be very high, unthinkable. The need is very big. Thank you for praying and supporting the ministry. We pray this earthquake draws many people to the Lord. We went to a Buddhist monastery yesterday. They accepted our food, but we were not allowed to share the gospel and to share tracts. Some monks are very strongly against the Christians, but prayer is very powerful, and we need to keep praying that the power of God will move them. We've shared a lot of food to the needy people. We've reached over 500 families with 150 rice bags, 500 cooking oils, 10,000 waters, and a lot of noodles. Now the military closed tourist visas again. It's so sad. They're afraid foreign reporters would come into Myanmar as tourists. They do not want the world to see the reality. Though we had the earthquake, the civil war is still going on. And then a few days later, we helped two villages. I encouraged the people who were hurt physically by the earthquake and comforted the families who lost their loved ones. We learned that some villages got a lot of help because they're on the news and people hear and come and help. But some villages are not on the news because they're far from main roads, far from highways, and those villages get nothing. Therefore, we speak with local preachers and try to go help the villages hurt by the earthquake badly. Mandalay is the hottest area in Myanmar, and the heat is very bad, but we enjoy helping them. Please pray for our team that we can serve the people, and please pray for the victims. Still, the small earthquakes come. We shared the gospel to the victims, and they listened a lot. God opens the door for the gospel. Praise the Lord. And I have Sam to share on behalf of the Smiths Missionary Partners in Japan.
Thank you, Will. So the Smiths live in Japan. How many of you have Japanese vehicles? Raise your hands. You know, they're one of the most developed countries in the world next to the United States. Yet the gospel is almost unheard of in Japan. So let me share a letter from Anthony and Katie. Greetings, beloved church. Thank you for your continued prayers and partnership with the gospel work happening and with the Japanese. Here in Japan, we are finishing up what is known as Sakura season. It's a time in spring where the pink cherry blossom trees bloom, creating a beautiful example of God's wonderful creation in Japan. The time is celebrated with communal gatherings of friends and families to enjoy nature and good food together. We have used these gathering times to meet with some of our contacts in our town and continue developing the relationships that were started last year. One such family has stayed in touch since last summer's VBS. Please continue to pray for the young families we have been connected with as we continue to care for them and share Christ. April also marks the beginning of a new school year. Our oldest, Olivia, has recently started Japanese kindergarten. She has been enjoying learning new things alongside her classmates at school. While we have been stretched in many different ways, learning the ins and outs of this new subculture of Japanese school life, we have been looking forward to interacting with other parents and are in the process of making those initial connections. Please pray for families we meet, many of which are not Christian. Pray this common meeting ground provides a platform for deeper relationships and opportunities to share Christ. Pray for Olivia as she navigates this new territory, primarily alone. She is adapting well so far and is really enjoying her time at school. She is slowly growing in her Japanese language skill. Easter recently provided a great opportunity to connect or to reconnect with the family who lives near our local park. We held an impromptu egg hunt this past Saturday and invited some friends as well as this family. The mother and son were able to join, and they had a great time. Katie was also able to exchange contact information with the mom, and they plan to meet in the future. We can pray about that, can't we? Please continue to pray for our neighborhood and the families nearby. Finally, we continue to settle into life with the addition of our newest daughter, Sophia. She is happy and healthy and loves her two big sisters. We are thanking God for the wonderful blessings that she is. Thank you for your prayers, beloved family. yours in Christ, the Smiths, Anthony, Katie, Olivia, Lily, and Sophia. Thank you for praying for them.
Thank you, Sam. Sharing on behalf of Family Advocate Ministry, we have Kelly.
Good morning, beloved. All right, I want to share with you a few things about our family advocacy ministry. What we do is provide care communities for foster and adoptive families. In a nutshell, the role of a care community member includes providing the family one meal a month and praying for them. We are also establishing a connection with the local agency, Family Services Agency, so we can support the social workers in our area and the children who entered the system through this specific agency. The external impact we've had, I have heard an adoptive family who said, it's good to have others to talk to about the things that are going on with their situation and who care about their family and can really understand the challenges that are brought upon when you are bringing children into your home. There are lots of schedule changes that happen and needs that can be met and support and prayer that needs to happen that can help a family to love better and be more confident and supported. So care communities make a huge difference for them. I was also told by a relative of one family that our care community, wrapping around their family, was the first time in a long time that they were able to see a church being what a church should be, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So it's a really powerful thing. These families really feel loved and seen, which is a huge part of our mission as a church. So it's an honor to be a part of it. Personally, being part of this ministry, especially with our church, has been a huge blessing in my life. The Lord is at work here among the vulnerable and among those who care for them. And to get to be a part of it is to be in his presence. Also, I am not all about being on stage. This is not my jam. but being an organizer of anything, also I'm not great at it. However, I love the Lord and I love kids, and I pray that he would establish the work of our hands in this ministry, and he has surely done that. So you guys are very responsive every time I put out a need for a family or a prayer request, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. The ways that we can help outside, I have a little prayer guide that you are free to take. If you would like more information about a care community, we're going to have a volunteer orientation coming up within the next 5 weeks is my goal, so we'll have the date soon. And if social worker, encouraging a social worker is something that you would like to do, there are opportunities for that as well. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, Kelly. From Agape Source, they sent us someone to share the awesome work that they're doing reaching foreign people right here in Orlando.
Good morning. My name is John Hansen. I work with Agape Source. Many of you are familiar with the work that we do, working with the unreached people groups that come here to Central Florida, with a special emphasis on the theme parks, particularly Disney World. God is bringing the Great Commission to our doorstep. And what we do is we engage through hospitality, and that opens doors to share the gospel with these young people. We've seen vivid illustrations of Paul's principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where one plants and other waters, but God gives the increase. Just this past fall, I was doing an evangelistic Bible study with a young man from China, and we had made great progress through the Bible study, and on one particular day, he was available. I was not, so another team member went through the Bible study, and you know where I'm going with this. That was the day he decided to accept Christ. So I was thrilled. I would have been maybe a little more thrilled if I'd been there, but praise the Lord. So then the Lord opened the door for me to disciple this young man. And at one particular point, he had been given a task by his supervisor that had a big impact on his job. He had to have this complex task figured out with all of the elements overnight. He was stressing. And so I was meeting with him, and I said, look, this came as a surprise to you, surprise to me, but it didn't come as a surprise to God. He's got it figured out. You just need to pray. Now I was expecting the typical Western response to that. I'll do that tomorrow, or I'll do that tonight. Immediately, he bowed his head and began to pray. I caught up with him a few days later and asked him how it went. He said not only did God give him the idea and all the steps to meet that need, but it was an overwhelming positive response from his supervisor, building his faith. And so this is what we do. We'd love to talk with you outside. We'll have a table set up out there, and we can engage with you a little bit more as far as being prayer partners, volunteers, whatever area God may lay upon your heart. Thank you for this opportunity to share.
Thank you so much, John. On behalf of Life's Choices, I have your very own Reggie.
Weirdo. Hey, so I get the privilege. We are grateful to partner with Life's Choices, which is a Christ-centered ministry dedicated to supporting mothers and fathers walking through pregnancy and education, healing, and compassionate care. Since opening back in 2006 and have been doing ministry much longer than that, they provide free services to families and educating parents, all rooted in the love and truth of Christ. Their mission empowers individuals to make life-affirming choices consistent with God's plan, offering hope and restoration in challenging circumstances. I am encouraged by Life's Choices, and this passage was on my heart, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Life Choices does. The prayer is that the Holy Spirit may empower them to overflow with hope and joy to everyone they encounter. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Reggie. On behalf of Motors Ministry, Nicole.
Hello, I'm your last one, so everybody stay awake, right? Are we still here? Okay, good. I'm Nicole. I'm representing the Motors Ministry here today. I have a small role in just helping administer the program, but it has just been so great, and I love being involved. I'll tell you a little bit about it by telling you that I didn't really understand what being in need meant. I just thought that people needed to work harder or were a little bit lazy. That's just me being really, really honest, and it's uncomfortable to stay on a stage. But this ministry has opened my eyes that, like Karen said, there are a lot of individuals working very, very hard that are just a little bit stuck. And the Motors Ministry helps bridge that gap in providing transportation. So I wanted to share about an individual that encompasses the ministry and helps to share what the vision is all about. I'll call her Lauren, just for her own protection, and I hope I don't accidentally say her name. But Lauren had a full-time job. She had six children and was single. So she's caring for her six children and getting to work. When we met Lauren, she was making expensive repairs on her car, just triaging and helping to keep her household afloat. We found out that the repairs were just getting too much, and she was starting to take an Uber to work, $40 to $70 a ride. So beyond just having household expenses that were probably, you know, outweighing her income, here comes this big expense just to make ends meet. So we found out about Lauren, and we wanted to help her. She was helping herself. She was doing everything that she could, but she needed to see the Lord's favor on her life beyond just what she could muster up. So Lauren is a great example of those that we seek to help, not by our own strength, but by God's strength, and just showing the love of the Lord to these individuals that just are a little bit stuck. What I love about this ministry is that you really can be involved very passively, just as the church is calling us to be known, belong, and be loved, and to know others as well. What I ask, or what would help this ministry, is to know your neighbors, look for houses, maybe like neighbors that have bushes that are in disrepair, or maybe that look a little bit frazzled, and just talk to them and know them and love them. And that can be intimidating. But what I love about this ministry is that we can help you help them. Maybe there is a need, like transportation, that we can help you help them with, right? And that can open the door to gospel conversations. So my ask of the church for this ministry is to know and love your neighbors and look for those in need. Maybe it's transportation, or maybe we'll send them over to our friend Karen. But that's my ask of you. We will be outside as well with a table. You can learn more at belovedchurch.com/motors. And then just lastly, I just wanted to share what a good candidate for a car would be, just so we don't flood Kevin with people that he would have to say no to, because that's really hard to do. So a good candidate is somebody who has a driver's license, is able to maintain the car otherwise, right? So get gas, change the oil every once in a while. We can provide some coaching on what that looks like, because I did ruin an engine when I was, 16 or 17, a little bit too much oil. They're otherwise financially self-sufficient or able to take care of the car. There might be some other outstanding needs, but we're really stepping into that transportation need. We do want to meet a spiritual need as well as a financial or physical need. So we're looking for someone who is attending a church or open to a spiritual conversation. It does not need to be beloved, but is being mentored and open to learning about God. And we also offer financial counseling, so be open to that if their situation necessitates that. Anyways, if you could continue to pray for us, and if you have any questions, we'll be outside the lobby. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nicole. To my wonderful team, thank you guys so much. I know some of you faced maybe your biggest fear stepping out in faith. Will you guys give them one more hand of applause? Thank you, guys. And please come out and see us. We'll be out there. Whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever you can do, whatever your talents, there's a place for you to get involved, to plug in more than you are, and it is more blessed to give than receive. It is a beautiful thing to be more and more involved and to see somebody come to Christ, to see somebody who's in abject poverty to start to, step out of that, and we can all be a part of that. So thank you.